CRTV's afternoon edition with me, Drusilla Mokoso Joki. In our top stories, the Ministry of Youth Affairs and Civic Education is in frank discussions with young people nationwide in a bid to promote their education, training, and socioeconomic integration vital to youth employment and the country's growth and development. Translators and interpreters in Cameroon are deepening their knowledge about tools in artificial intelligence useful for quality and time-saving work. In sports, Cameroon Stadia are receiving intense scrutiny from a delegation of CAF officials on an inspection visit to the country. Those were top stories, but first, the news bulletin.
The bulletin with Winston Lebga. Cameroon has been praised for its contributions towards promoting activities that tie with and are drawn from the International Federation of the Red Cross and Red Crescent Societies, IFRC. The African Regional Director of the IFRC, Mohamed Omar Mokie, hailed the efforts of the government during an audience he was granted with the Prime Minister, Joseph John Gute, on Thursday. The head of government and the IFRC official discussed avenues of further boosting cooperation between Cameroon and the International Federation of the Red Cross. Today is World Tourism Day. It is the 45th edition of the commemoration, and the theme is Tourism and Peace. The Minister of State, Minister of Tourism, Bello Buba Maigari, is chairing an official ceremony to mark the day in the Northwest Regional Capital, Bamenda. The region has been badly affected by separatist terrorist acts, which have had an adverse effect on the tourism sector there. Some youth organizations have been giving their views on various avenues that can guarantee the employment of young men and women in Cameroon. Two of them, United Africa and the Association of Entrepreneurs in Africa, were granted an audience with Cameroon's Minister of Youth Affairs and Civic Education, Mununa Futsu. For close to 3 hours, they talked about the daily challenges their peers face and proposed solutions that include the reduction of tuition in schools to enable many more young people to be educated. Efforts made at accelerating the decentralization process in Cameroon have been assessed in Yaoundé today. This was at the first ordinary session of the Interministerial Committee on Local Services for the 2024 financial year, chaired by the Minister of Decentralization and Local Development, Georges Elanga Obam. The session also featured a presentation on the powers and resources transferred to regions in secondary education by the Minister, Nalo Valionga. Traffic flow has been penalized on the National Road No. 5 between Douala and Konsamba in the littoral region due to floods caused by heavy and incessant rains. Buildings have been destroyed, and there are fears the road could be affected due to blocked gutters, which are unable to relieve flood waters. The senior divisional officer for the Mungo, Bertrand Noel Njana, who has been to the affected site, has called on the citizens to demonstrate civility. Translators and interpreters working with Cameroon's Ministry of Decentralization and Local Development are being drilled on artificial intelligence tools to adopt so as to facilitate their work. This is at a capacity building workshop organized by the ministry as a prelude to the International Translation Day to be observed under the theme Translation and Artificial Intelligence at the Service of Decentralization and Local Development. A member of the Electoral Board of Elections Cameroon, Honorable Efandene Bekono-Pierre Roger, is dead. The chairperson of the Electoral Board, Chairperson of Elections Cameroon, Dr. Eno Abrams Egbe, announced the death in a press statement today. Honorable Efande Bekono died on Thursday, the 26th of September, at the Yaoundé University Teaching Hospital after an illness. The chairperson of the Electoral Board addresses his heartfelt condolences to the bereaved family. Athletes to compete in the maiden edition of the ECAS International Sambo Open this Saturday in Yaoundé will take part in a weighing ceremony later today ahead of the competition. In the meantime, delegations from 8 African countries plus officials from the International Sambo Federation, as well as those from the Africa Sambo Confederation, are already in Cameroon ahead of the event to take place at the Fandena Gymnasium as from 9 o'clock in the morning tomorrow. And that's the bulletin.
Washing our hands regularly will save lives.
CRT this afternoon edition.
We set the pace. CRTV's afternoon edition.
Connecting people.
Immense thanks for being with us. The Africa Regional Director of the International Federation of the Red Cross and Red Crescent Societies has hailed the government of Cameroon for her never-ending support to the organization. Mohamed Omer Mourkier conveyed the salutary message Thursday during an audience accorded him by the Prime Minister, Head of Government, Joseph Diangote. The two parties also explored avenues of further boosting cooperation between Cameroon and the International Federation of the Red Cross. We have details with our Star Building correspondent, Christian Chiatam.
The Africa Regional Director of the International Federation of the Red Cross and Red Crescent Societies visited the Prime Minister alongside the President of the Cameroon Red Cross and the head of delegation of the IFRC. He said his mission to the PM's office was one of thanksgiving. Mohamed Omer Mourkier, Africa Regional Director of the International Federation of the Red Cross and Red Crescent Societies.
We really came sincerely to thank the government of Cameroon for hosting the International Federation of Red Cross Red Crescent in Yaoundé, for providing generous support to the Cameroon Red Cross, because we receive good cooperation and support from the government of Cameroon.
The Prime Minister and the Africa Regional Director of the IFRC also looked at ways of boosting cooperation.
We discussed how to expand the cooperation between the International Federation of Red Cross and the government of Cameroon, including us together with the Cameroon Red Cross, helping the government to achieve the commitments and targets for Paris Agreement, for sustainable development goals, and to increase the humanitarian response, including to people affected by floods, people affected by epidemics.
The IFRC Africa Director solicited the service of Cameroon for a special event.
We discussed the possibilities of the Cameroon Red Cross and Cameroonian government to host the next Pan-African Red Cross Red Crescent meeting. The Pan-African Red Cross Red Crescent meeting normally brings together about 79 countries.
At the end of the audience, the two officials made the commitment to continue fostering collaboration between Cameroon and the IFRC. Christian Chiatam, CRTV, The Star Building.
The commander of military schools and training centers has exhorted the 20th batch of trainees at the Yaoundé International War College to maximize their time at the school in order to gain skills that will enable them address contemporary security challenges in Africa and the world at large. Major General Philippe Mpaye was speaking in Yaoundé today during the solemn opening session for the college for the 2024-2025 academic year. George Mwam reports.
A procession of military officers bearing flags of the different countries whose soldiers make up the 20th batch of trainees at the Yaoundé International War College. This academic year, the school is welcoming 61 trainees from 26 African and European countries, selected through a rigorous process by their respective governments. For a period of 11 months, they will immerse themselves in general defense and operational training, organized into complementary fields such as prospective vision on the world and Africa, strategy and the art of war, interministerial and security actions, and management, leadership and anticipation. The training is meant for senior army and gendarmerie officers to enable them command large units, assume responsibilities at army headquarters and in interministerial instances where defense and security policies are elaborated. In his welcome address, the commandant of the Yaoundé International War College, Brigadier General Cavalier, reminded the trainees of the importance of their training as senior military officers and that throughout the year, they will be closely followed up by the Ministry of Defense as well as the diplomatic services of their countries present in Cameroon. The inaugural lesson of the solemn opening was delivered by the director of the Research Center for Political and Strategic Studies at the University of Yaoundé Toussoua, Professor Vincent Touda Ebode, on the theme Geopolitical Dynamics and the Structuring of Training Programs in Military Schools of Higher Studies, the example of the Yaoundé International War College.
George Mom reporting, and we told you just a while ago in the headlines, accelerating the socio-economic integration of young people in the domains of agriculture, digital economy, industry and crafts, and technological innovation as government's key priorities for the country's youth. Minister Mununa Futsu of Youth Affairs and Civic Education reiterated this vision to two youth delegations he received in audience in Yaoundé this Thursday. Details of their exchange with Joyce Cleve Tata.
Many young people in Cameroon today have the will to study, but due to financial constraints are unable to access vocational training schools and grow their craft in order to be assets to the nation. This, among many, are the complaints tabled before the Minister of Youth Affairs and Civic Education by the President of the NGO United Africa and the Association of Entrepreneurs in Africa. The president of United Africa, Christian Fojo, says they came ready with proposals to resolve this lingering problem.
Our mission was to rehabilitate and harmonize solutions that were brought to us from fieldwork concerning education, training and illiteracy. So faced with those problems of higher prices of education and inaccessibility of educative facility, we made proposal to the minister.
Discussions were centered on two main axes, notably employment and economic integration, and education, training and literacy, in a bid to dig deep into the plight of young people for practical solutions. Youth Affairs and Civic Education boss Mununa Futsu, at the tail of the exchange, called on the youth leaders to continue conversations with their peers, which will help in drafting a more realistic national youth development policy.
Joyce Cleve Tata, and in the far north region, funding, training and integration are among the concerns of young people. Consultations organized last month in Mara enabled them to brainstorm on a number of factors as these youth welcomed government's willingness to involve them in the implementation of the National Youth Development Policy. Sylvester Temkin reports from Mara.
Since the putting in place of the National Youth Policy Platform by the Ministry of Youth Affairs and Civic Education, many youth in the far north region have been participating with brainstorming centered around poverty alleviation initiatives.
Civic education, citizenship, conflict management, entrepreneurship training that can help to create enterprise, the model on sustainable development to strengthen the environment and other issues related to environment. Securism to intervene in case of accident to foster intervention in all level of the society.
The youth also believe support initiatives for their socio-economic resilience will serve as a timely response to the problem of unemployment.
It's true that there are many projects that are put in place to help the youth to be independent. We are still expecting more, because we, the youth in the far north region, confronting many difficulties.
This added to existing initiatives by the government. We help them engage in profitable activities in order to contribute their quota to the socio-economic development of Cameroon. Marwa, Sylvester Temkin, CRTV.
The government has designed programs and projects intended to assist the youth in their socio-professional integration. Staff man Gu Henry in the following paper presents some of these programs for the youth in Cameroon.
According to the African Youth Charter, youth are individuals aged between 15 and 35 years of age. Like most developing countries, the age pyramid in Cameroon is characterized by high proportion of youths, with more than half of the population. Despite this demographic advantage, youth in Cameroon face a number of challenges compromising their socioeconomic potential. Some of these challenges include unemployment, poverty, and the lack of access to basic security services. The government, through the Ministry of Youth Affairs and Civic Education, and also through various ministries of education and vocational training, has designed programs, projects, and curricula intended to facilitate the socio-professional insertion of the youths. These include the National Youth Council, multipurpose youth empowerment centers, plus the Special Youth Trainer Plan. The program, worth 102 billion CFA francs, targets 1.5 million youth between the ages of 15 and 35 who are seeking vocational or entrepreneurial training, job seekers, as well as self-employed in the country.
Washing our hands regularly will save lives.
Minutes after 3 p.m. You are listening to CRTV's Afternoon Edition. The progress of the decentralization process in Cameroon has been assessed at the first ordinary session of the Interministerial Committee on Local Services for the 2024 financial year in Yaoundé. The session, chaired by the Minister of Decentralization and Local Development, Georges Elanga-Obam, was marked by a presentation on the powers and resources transferred to regions in secondary education. Details with Hortensia Ngam.
The session highlighted recent achievements in decentralization, emphasizing improvements in transparency and accountability in local governance. Training programs for regional officials were reviewed, aiming to enhance their capabilities in managing urban planning, environmental issues, and transportation effectively. The Minister of Secondary Education, Professor Nalova Liyonga, in her presentation on the delegation of powers and resources to regional councils for managing secondary education, stressed the importance of effective coordination between the ministry and regional councils to ensure a seamless transition in school administration and better educational outcomes. Minister Elanga-Obam commended the collaboration between the Ministry of Decentralization and DART of Secondary Education, noting efforts to empower regional councils for better school governance and infrastructural development. The meeting also addressed ongoing challenges in implementing decentralized services and underscored the need for additional support from central authorities.
Hortensia Ngam. The colloquium on intercommunity conflicts and the promotion of living together, organized by the National Commission on the Promotion of Bilingualism and Multiculturalism, is on the second day today with six keynote presentations and a plenary on the agenda. While Professor Victor Julius Ngo will give a presentation on military and non-military solutions to inter-community conflicts and the role of traditional rulers in the prevention and resolution of inter-community conflicts, that will be another presentation by Barrister Nico Halley. The Douala-based lawyer, Barrister Nico Halley, explains to Albert Njembonde the essence of his presentation.
The unfortunate thing is that the authority of the traditional rulers has been completely eroded and watered down. There's a lot of disorder around them because they don't have a hold on their people. If all the villages are peaceful, the whole nation will be peaceful. And so let the traditional rulers be informed that they need peace. For them to have peace, they need love, and they need to respect the rule of law. They need to make sure that their people are together. Let them not allow politicians to come and shred their people, divide their people. Let a traditional ruler stay in the village and receive members of all political parties. That's the answer. If the traditional rulers get together and they build love, harmony, oneness among themselves, the whole nation will be at peace. And traditional rulers must be respected, not only by their people, but by the state. They constitute a force to reckon with.
And that was Barrister Nico Halley speaking there to Albert Njembonde. Some artificial intelligence tools have been described as unavoidable for translators who desire to achieve automated, error-free outputs with short periods of time. The tools were presented to translators and interpreters from the Ministry of Decentralization and Local Development in Yaoundé today during a workshop organized in the build-up to the International Translation Day to be observed on the 30th of September. Karine Kubong reports.
Noting that artificial intelligence has made remarkable progress in recent years with the potential to automate tasks, save time and increase efficiency in various fields, experts at the workshop called on translators and the Ministry of Decentralization and Local Development to embrace the new technologies as a means to better ease their work. The facilitator of the workshop, Professor Valentine Umbanako, describes artificial intelligence as a reliant helper to translators.
Artificial intelligence has been able to make translation better, so I think we need these tools that are being developed on a daily basis.
Professor Umbanako further highlights some useful tools to translators and interpreters.
You see something like ChatGPT, it helps in almost every domain. Okay, there's that human interface, you have localize, you have keyboard, and you also have a trend where sometimes computer-assisted translation tools are now bringing in AI components in their tools to help translators.
Established by the United Nations in 2017, the International Translation Day is this year celebrated for the fourth time in the Ministry of Decentralization and Local Development, with a call on translators and interpreters to embrace artificial intelligence for stress-free outputs.
And on to sports, a CAF inspection mission is in Cameroon to visit some stadiums in the country. The delegation led by Ilarion Kali was at the Japoma Stadium on Thursday. The visit, coordinated by the general coordinator of the Japoma Sports Complex, was aimed at assessing the state of the infrastructure in relation to CAF standards. Rene Kachi reports from Douala.
A key aspect of this inspection was the evaluation of functional systems, particularly mechanical and electrical components. These included assessments of air conditioning, elevator systems and sound systems. During the visit, the coordinator of the Japoma Stadium, Guy Joseph Ayum, highlighted the ongoing work at the sports facility, which has intensified over the past 30 days in preparation for the inspection. Central to his presentation was the maintenance program developed by the coordinator, focusing on improving the green cover of the pitch. The CAF inspection mission was also made to understand that recent heavy rainfall has caused some damage to the grass, leading to inadequate drainage and further deterioration. Concrete measures have been implemented, added the coordinator of the infrastructure, and this includes chemical treatment of the playing surface, plugging operations, the application of fungicides for color enhancement, and manual aeration to restore the drainage system. Meanwhile, a complementary operation is currently underway, aimed at improving the texture and drainage system, as well as combating pests that threaten the vegetation. This initiative that started on September 2022 is expected to round up on October 19, 2024. Rene Kache, CRTV News, Douala.
The under-20 Lions will tomorrow at 4 p.m. play against Gabon in their last group match at the ongoing UNIFAC Zonal Qualifiers for the 2025 under-20 AFCON. Coach Yvan Kenmoy and his players are going into the match as leaders of Pool B with 3 points following their 4-0 win over the Central African Republic yesterday. Harrison Ashutiku reports that the Baby Lions need a draw in the encounter to advance to the semis.
The under-20 Lions dominated the Central African Republic in all the segments of the match, thrashing them by 4-0 to move to the top of Pool B with 3 points. Thanks to goals from Wilfred Nathan Douala, Ivan Nana, Jibrin Haruna and Esunga Elundu. Following the score, Coach Ivan Kemwe and his players have little stress going to their last group match this Saturday against Gabon. A draw or a defeat of less than 3 goals will still guarantee them their ticket to the semis. Despite the odds in their favor, the under-20 Lions are determined to be undefeated in the competition as the squad was present in their training session this Friday morning to fine-tune their strategy up against Gabon. The outcome of the match will determine their opponent in the semi-final, where they will battle for one of the 2 tickets to the 2025 under-20 AFCON.
And we are rooting for our Baby Lions. Thank you, Harrison Ashutiku. Away from football, athletes and coaches from 8 African countries are already in Cameroon ahead of the first edition of ECAS International Sambo Open to take place tomorrow at the Fandina Gymnasium in Yaoundé. The fights will begin at 9 a.m. with the final scheduled for 3 p.m. Ben Collins Nyeberu has the details.
The countdown to the inaugural ECAS International Sambo Open has begun. Delegations from Burkina Faso and Morocco were the first to arrive in Cameroon, touching down on Wednesday night. They were followed by African Sambo Confederation President Dalis Khalil from Morocco, who arrived on Thursday morning. Athletes from Niger, Gabon, the Central African Republic, the Democratic Republic of Congo, and Equatorial Guinea arrived on Thursday night and Friday morning, rounding out the impressive lineup. This Saturday, the Fandena Gymnasium will host the highly anticipated competition. After the weighing ceremony and technical meeting, athletes will take to the mat at 9 a.m. to vie for medals in Sambo, Sport and Combat Sambo. The ECAS International Sambo Open brings together nations from the Economic Community of Central African States and beyond. The Sambo Federation and associations from participating countries have sent their finest athletes to compete for medals. Host nation Cameroon will be represented by a strong contingent of 19 athletes, comprising 5 women and 14 men. With the stage set, the competition promises to be an electrifying display of skills and sportsmanship.
Ben Collins, Nyoi Berewo, putting a cap on CRTV's afternoon edition. But before we go, a reminder of our top stories. The Ministry of Youth Affairs and Civic Education is in frank discussions with young people nationwide in a bid to promote their education, training and socioeconomic integration, vital to youth employment and the country's growth and development. Translators and interpreters in Cameroon are deepening their knowledge about tools in artificial intelligence useful for quality and time-saving work. And in sports, Cameroon Stadia are receiving intense scrutiny from a delegation of CAF officials on an inspection visit to the country. CRTV's afternoon edition was a presentation of Drusilla Mokoso Joki. Up next is a summary of the news in the French language with Juleika Umaru Alu. Bon après-midi.
Bon après-midi. La circulation est perturbée sur la route nationale numéro 5 entre Douala et Kansamba. Des pluies diluviennes de ces derniers jours ont provoqué des inondations. Plusieurs infrastructures sont endommagées. Une partie de la chaussée de la route menacée de céder sous l'effet de l'obstruction des troncs et complique la situation. Le préfet de Dumongo, Bertrand Noël Ndjana, a effectué une descente sur le terrain pour évaluer les dégâts. Il en appelle à plus de vigilance et au civisme des populations. 45e édition de la Journée mondiale du tourisme. L'événement se célèbre ce vendredi 27 septembre 2024 sous le thème « Tourisme et paix ». La ville de Bamenda dans le nord-ouest accueille à l'effet le ministre d'État, ministre du tourisme et des loisirs. Bello Bouba Maïgari est porteur du message d'ONU Tourisme. L'on assiste également à l'allocution du président de l'Assemblée régionale sur la carte touristique du nord-ouest. Un des secteurs les plus touchés par la crise sociopolitique. La plupart des sites naturels constituent des zones de retranchement des bandes armées séparatistes. Comment l'art de la tradition peut-il s'adapter à l'ère de l'intelligence artificielle? C'est la question principale au centre d'un atelier qui s'est ouvert ce jour au ministère de la décentralisation et du développement local. C'est en prélude à la Journée internationale de la traduction qui se célèbre le 30 septembre prochain. L'avenir du métier de traducteur est une alliance entre l'homme et la machine. Transfert des compétences aux collectivités territoriales décentralisées. Le sujet est au menu de la première session au comité des services locaux au titre de l'exercice 2024. Les travaux ouverts ce jour au siège du conseil régional du centre sont dirigés par le ministre de la décentralisation et du développement local, Georges Ilanga Obama. Révision de la politique nationale de la jeunesse, la phase des consultations. La consultation des réseaux thématiques est ouverte. Les leaders des secteurs éducation et emploi ont présenté leur exposé au cours desquels ils ont relevé le coût de l'éducation et les difficultés d'accès à un emploi. C'était hier jeudi à Yaoundé lors des consultations des organisations de jeunesse qui ont émis pour la circonstance des propositions allant dans le sens d'un progrès participatif. Les échanges étaient conduits par le ministre de la Jeunesse et de l'Éducation civique en collaboration avec le Conseil national de la Jeunesse du Canada. Cameroun. En sport, le ministre des Sports et de l'Éducation physique, le professeur Narcisse Mouélé-Kambé, vient de recevoir en audience le nouveau président de la Fédération internationale francophone de Scrabble, Ahmed Assoumo. Les échanges entre les deux personnalités ont porté sur les activités de cette discipline qui regroupe 34 pays participants et le cahier de charge du nouvel exécutif pour le monde et singulièrement pour son pays, le Cameroun. Et puis la 64e édition de la finale de la Coupe du Cameroun de football aura lieu dans 48 heures entre Aigle de la Minois et Colombe du Djaïloba. Match amical et séance d'entraînement en continu, les deux équipes affichent la forme la plus optimale pour une finale de haute facture. Et voilà, mesdames, messieurs, qui met un terme à ce condensé des nouvelles de la mi-journée. Bon après-midi à tous.